Did you feel that?
Neither did we.
That was just the tip with Amy Reid.
On the Big Old Hairy Fox, 102.3.
All right, Mike. So first foremost, I want to talk some local stuff. I know I saw that it was being discussed. I don't know the latest on it. They're looking at the University of South Carolina renaming the Strom Thurmond Center. And I thought when I drove by yesterday, I was driving downtown. Do you know the part that like sticks out a little bit? And I haven't been here for a year and a half, so I could just be imagining it. I thought it used to say his name across it, but it didn't yesterday. And there was somebody taking pictures. But so I don't know if they took it down or not. Has there been any more discussion about renaming that? Or is that just something that's kind of started on social media and just in the beginning discussion stages?
No, it's one of those things that definitely started on social media. And we've seen this happen, not just in South Carolina. We started obviously at Clemson, but we've seen it across the country with people wanting to see change, especially with everything that's going on with the world right now since the death of George Floyd and the push for social injustice to change. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, look, I didn't know the history. I mean, I've only been in South Carolina for 4 years. It's one of those things that I'm sure a lot of people, especially if they are white, they might not understand and may not know the history of it. I'm not saying that every person that's black or that's not white understands the history, but I think being able to have that information come out these last couple of days, I think more people are being educated who weren't educated before. And that's not saying people didn't know that, especially people that live here in Columbia. But I think it's one of those things when you have some of the biggest name athletes that your university has ever had, and not just great athletes, but great people too. Marcus Lattimore, Asia Wilson, Tendarius Thornwell, Alshon Jeffrey, just to name a few of the many that have come out over these last couple of days calling for a change. Saying that, you know, it's tough to go to a university and drive by a building that, you know, was led by a white supremacist. I mean, that's who it's named after. So I think it's one of those things that's going to be interesting to see where they go forward with this, especially when you have names like that. When you have names like that, it's hard to ignore.
Absolutely.
The latest that we know is this, that the Board of Trustees had a meeting on Friday, but on Thursday they did announce that they would not discuss changing the name of the building on Friday's meeting. Now, that doesn't mean it can't get changed in the future. It just wasn't discussed on Friday. But it's definitely one of those things, like I said, I just don't see it going away, because especially when you have some of your biggest name stars that went to this university coming out calling for a change, it's just hard to overlook.
Well, and I think what's important to know is that, you know, and this has happened on my personal Facebook, and you hear, if you log on to any form of social media, you see the arguments start to begin, that it's not about changing history or not acknowledging it. It's that sometimes those things belong in a museum and not as something that we look up to or that we're honoring in a positive way. And I do know we have to understand that everybody has good and bad in them, but also that if you're going to name a building, I remember I lived in Greenville, South Carolina in 2007, and I had just moved there randomly. I was going to school there, like to Greenville Tech, and I was working at O'Charley's, the restaurant, and they had Strom Thurmond painted like in a big mural on, and it was a bunch of different things that had to do with South Carolina, but I had no idea, being from, you know, Jersey. I was like, I don't know who this guy is. You know, it's a little past my generation of, you know, like a lot of that happened before my time of really being involved in things that are going on. So, but I think it's, you know, when people on the other side, you know, you have people who want to change it. And for me, I understand why they want to change it. And that makes sense. And I think what's been interesting is that people on the other side start calling those people like soft or sensitive, but they're equally being soft and sensitive about changing the name. Like, if it's just a name, then why do you care if it's changed? You know what I mean? So,
I thought something that was interesting, though, was USC men's basketball coach Frank Martin spoke on Thursday, and Frank has never been one to shy away from political discussions, especially things that affect his players in the community, his players off the court, of course, and the community as a whole. But he mentioned, he's like, you know, I'm Cuban. I have a Cuban background. He's like, could not find me going to a school that had a statue of Fidel Castro. You know, that just wouldn't be the case. Now, you know, to some, they might think it's apples to oranges making that comparison. But I think that's a good representation of just the idea of just like, hey, look, there's some people that look at it this way. You might not look at it that way. I might not look at it that way. But at the same time, too, I don't truly understand that you might not truly understand. So I think it's important to be able, and people have just said it so much over the last couple of weeks, but it is so true. It's just listen. So I thought it was great that Frank said that. And like I said, I'd be shocked if this is the last we hear of this, despite those discussions not taking place on Friday at the Board of Trustees meeting.
Listen, I'm with it. Change it. I mean, do you really think Strom was going to the gym anyway? You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't for him. You know, so I'm with him. Change it. And I'll be interested to see. And, you know, during all of this, I'm interested to see on how we progress and move forward and what changes we make as a society locally and nationally. You know, I think it's a conversation that has had to happen for quite some time. And I think we're going through a pretty amazing time right now that while you're in it, you don't realize that it's history making. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that's some of the things. I mean, granted, we're in a time period now more than ever where there's not much else to do. So you're so focused on everything that's going on. I think you can kind of have a grasp that we're in a period of time where things are just, you know, going to be looked at probably, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years from now and be remembered as very historic.
Yeah.
You know, for better or for worse. And I say for better or for worse, obviously, with what's going on with the coronavirus, and hopefully for better in terms of social injustice, in terms of that, and that being able to get, you know, just the change that hopefully will come with that. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, we're really focused on some big picture ideas here that maybe when life is going a little bit faster. I mean, I know you're from Jersey, I'm from Boston, so the pace is a little bit different down here.
Yeah.
But you can even tell that even though it's a little bit slower pace, it still feels like it's even slower, and people are able to really pay attention to other issues going on in the world. So
who knows
what's going to come from this.
Absolutely. And I think it's a blessing in the regards of the social justice front, that we do have time to sit down and talk about it, and that we're not so easily able to be distracted. I think that's a big positive for that movement. So I like I said, I'm excited to see how we progress and what things this conversation inspires, how we, you know, enforce change and how we all take a look at ourselves. Let's talk. I know you had mentioned just, you know, off of the mic kind of, University of Texas, speaking of COVID, you know, as things open back up, I know for Columbia, I just heard on our sister station, Hot 103.9, that, you know, the Columbia area is like number 15 in the country for seeing an increase in cases. And if the woman had said, it was Cynthia Brown had said, if you take a look at, you know, Orangeburg and another place as well, that it puts us up to number 11, but we're not the only area seen an increase, and it was in Texas, wasn't it? You just said some players.
Yeah, 13 players at the University of Texas have tested positive on the football team, and 23 players are now in quarantine. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, we started seeing colleges. We started seeing USC being one of those schools where you had football, and some teams have also allowed their men's and women's basketball teams to come back, and that's part of, I guess you could call it phase two. Phase one in terms of athletics, it might not be exactly the way the university's calling it, but the point being is they're slowly trying to get people back on campus to be able to get athletics going again. But that's the thing that's just scary, and I'm not going to play doctor because I'm not a doctor. I'm a sportscaster. But the point being is that the reality is that the more we open things up a little bit, and obviously there's more testing too, those cases are going to come up. And obviously these schools are trying to do everything they can to be safe. So, you know, look, there's people out there that are taking this thing very serious. There are other people out there that look at it and be like, you know, it's just like the flu. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to feel. I mean, you know, you can make your own decisions and opinions on all this. But the point being is that regardless of how you feel, if there are players that have this, and who knows how this could pick up the ball. If a team has this and they have a game that weekend, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to play. That's just the reality of it. Teams might have to shut down for a week, if not more. So how could that affect not just the team, not just the college football season in terms for them, but just how the college football season goes as a whole? You know, how could that really affect conferences, the seeding, and, you know, the national championship playoff? I mean, what are we going to do? It's one of those things right now that we keep seeing these numbers go up, and it's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm seeing two football players. One basketball player tested positive just last week. And it's just one of those things that some parts of the country are more open right now because they're in different phases. Mm-hmm. I know, like in Massachusetts, it feels like they're 2 months behind where South Carolina is right now in terms of their phased operations, in terms of trying to open stuff up again. So those numbers have been very low, but they also require people to wear masks when they go out. So I think it's one of those things that it's going to be very difficult to be able to get these numbers down to be able to protect all your players because every state is operating a little bit different. And some states are a little bit ahead more in terms of their phase process.
I'll be interested to see because I know some locally and for middle school and high school teams, they're looking at starting back up, you know, school sports next month and how they're, you know, what plans they have in place as far as protecting others. Because even though the percentage is so low, and I can listen, I can deep dive into my government conspiracy theories behind all of this, you know, just to some degree. So I won't do that here, but even though the percentage of, you know, fatal cases for severe cases is really low for people age 0 to 49, it's like a 0.05%. It's still, those kids are going home. They may live in multi-generational households where you have grandparents or if you live with somebody who's immunocompromised. So I do know that it is a serious thing. And I feel like for as much as people are tired of the uncertainty, it is exhausting. It is physically and mentally exhausting. You know, just living in consistently uncertain, and I hate to say uncertain times, but like just the uncertainty of everything and not being able to live on autopilot. So much of what we do is on autopilot, driving to work, going to the grocery store, running errands, you're not paying attention. And over the last, you know, 3 months, it feels like way longer than 3 months. It's been like every little move you make in your life, there's been a spotlight, you know, shone on it. So shined on it. I'll learn English one day, but today's not that day. So, you know,
I've looked at it. And Amy, not to cut you off, I think that's one of the things, though, too, is that, you know, everyone's going to have their opinion on it at this point, but we've had more time to think more than ever. But for the people that, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not telling you or you or anyone how to feel. You know, I take it serious, but at the same time, too, I know it's one of those things that it's not going to necessarily hold me back from my day-to-day operation, but for the people that say, you know, it's not that big of a deal, only, you know, 0.005 die. I always look at it this way. What if that 1%, that point whatever is your grandmother, is your mother, is your brother or sister? Do you feel the same way if you have a relative that has a disease that makes them more susceptible to be able to catch this? You know, so I think it's just one of those things that I understand where people are coming from, but, you know, just, you know, well, what if it happens to you? Would you feel the same way? So that's how I look at it.
Mike, if people want to hang out with you and stay up to date on the latest, where can they find you? Where can they watch you?
They can catch us at 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday on Watch Fox. And then starting on July 6th, the return of Sports Zone. It's going to be 30 minutes of sports Monday through Friday. We're going to continue to get more content. We got some good content up our sleeves already. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at Mike_UVA.
Is this the season that we find out if Pete Rose in or out of the Hall of Fame? Do we finally get an answer on that?
I don't know if that's going to happen this year with everything going on with Major League Baseball. I think they're just trying to do everything they can just to get back on the field, or at least, you know, one side feels that way. Maybe both sides do in their own way. But hopefully we'll have just the baseball season in general, and then we'll be able to discuss Pete Rose being able to make it into the Hall of Fame. But I can't see it. I can't see it happening anytime soon, unfortunately. But at this point, I want to see Pete go in just from his ability on the field. Everything not, you know, on the outside not included, just as a ball player.
I don't know. I know like minimum about sports. You know, I pay attention. I watch football as like my main sport, but I can watch anything because I appreciate the athleticism Absolutely. That goes into it. But I know two things that I can always be able to do: Pete Rose in or out of the Hall of Fame, and I know to bring up if LeBron's better than Jordan if I want to piss people off. So
just love them. No one talks about that.
All right, Mike. Thank you so much for kicking it with us. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Amy.